the prophet. Two words, the man was judges. I don't know when I'll finish Hebrews if I let myself do what I'd like to do. Probably no example of faith to this current Christian world is needed quite as much as the prophets. The church can never escape prophetic role. The prophets were hated, and the tension of the church is to balance a twofold ministry, that of prophet and priest. And like so many paradoxical truths in God's word, they are mutually contradictory at times. The priestly role, the needs of the people bring it forth. The prophetic role is a little harder to maintain, because the prophet seldom makes anybody happy. And that's why I want to camp a while on the prophets, those that the writers of the Hebrews didn't have time to talk about. We finished Elijah last Sunday. I want to look at Ezekiel tonight. So open your Bible and let's go to Ezekiel. He's a strange bird. Very few people that study God's book know much about Ezekiel. They know about his message, whether they know it or not, from pop singers who can sing, "These bones don't arise again, the knee bone connected to the thigh bone," and on, one way or the other. Ezekiel saw the world before man was created. Ezekiel saw the world when Lucifer was still the crowning cherub in the mountain of God. Ezekiel saw Lucifer before and when he became lifted up in pride and challenged God. That goes way back. And it's Ezekiel that sees God put hooks in the jaws of God and Magog and Magog, bring him forth, and sees the end of time. And when you're talking, whether it's on TV or not, you've got a hair in your mouth, you take it out, don't you? Or swallow it, whichever is the fastest. I got it. His name means whom the Lord strengthens. Or else God is his strength. Nobody's ever really figured out which of the two. He was a man of faith. And in a day when a lot of people are running around marketing faith as a product, how to make faith work for you, as though God is in that kind of business. God's in the business of changing us into becoming workers for him. He's not interested in working for us. He did a good job laboring at Calvary, and he finished the work. How to become a faith deliverer. Believe and receive. I hope that Ezekiel starts running out of their ears before I'm finished these 2 or 3 weeks. Came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, and the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar. I want to label Ezekiel super charismatic of the Old Testament. He really was. If you believe in visions, man, I'd never tell my visions if Ezekiel were on the platform. That'd be like telling a kindergarten story. Just before a complete synopsis of the World War. Where did he get his beginning? I was among the captives by the river Chebar. As a boy, he had listened to Jeremiah preach. And he was part of the captives that were carried away, not in the final bondage, when Zedekiah was blinded and Nebuchadnezzar carried the final band out of Jerusalem, took them into bondage, where for 70 years they would stay in bondage and then return, as we've been preaching in Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezekiel was a contemporary in Babylon, or rather by the river Chebar, while Zedekiah was moving toward his end and Jeremiah was passing out his final prophecies in Jerusalem. You'll read in the Psalms 137, they asked the children of Israel to sing the songs of Zion. And they said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange place? And they hung their harps on the willow trees and they couldn't sing. They were like a lot of Christians whose song is related to their circumstance. They were in bondage, they hung their harps up, and they couldn't sing. But there's always a radical. There's always someone God can find that makes a lie out of all lame brain Christian excuses. Ezekiel was in the same place. And the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. They couldn't sing, but he had a song that fills this book. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, and the word in the original is, there could be no doubt about it. It was the Lord speaking to him. Ezekiel the priest, he was a Zadokite, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord, circle one word, the hand of the Lord was there. Where? By the river Chebar, in that place of bondage. You know, Ezekiel was already living Christ's message when he said, don't have any fear of those. They can destroy your body. He was in the prison, but he sure wasn't a prisoner. He was a citizen of heaven. And those dummies thought they had him captive. Some of the best things ever happened to God's people happened in prison. If I didn't know I was going to win on the issues we're fighting in this church, I'd almost wish it could go. So I'd just sit down and write a while. I would request solitary. I'll tell you that. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. That didn't surprise you, did it? Expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Well, now, Lord, if your hand created the heavens, and if your hand's on me here, why in the world can't you get me out of here? I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. Hallelujah. Going to have a Pentecostal revival. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. That ought to help some preachers' sermons that try to prove heaven's up north. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And the brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Man, I'm going to get delivered. I'm going to be Elijah now. Oh, dog. I remember what happened to Elijah when that whirlwind showed. He sailed off. I knew it was not God's will for me to be in this place, and here comes my whirlwind. Out of the midst thereof is the color amber. Out of the midst of the fire. The Holy Ghost is coming. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Man, what a cult you could start with this one. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. Now, what would you do with a vision like this? I wanted you to think about it for a while. Now, this is a church with a rich heritage of the revelation of God. And this is a city where most of all the charismatic renewal, full gospel revival, was to spring forth in full bloom. They say there's nothing God's ever done hasn't happened in this area. There's nothing God's ever been blamed for he didn't do that hasn't happened in this area, I can tell you that. But I haven't yet met any Angelino that's had this kind of vision. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, can't you see this poor old prisoner now? The hand of the Lord is on him. The word of the Lord came expressly to him. Whoa, here comes the whirlwind. Where's north? That north? Well, it came from the north. Great cloud comes behind a whirlwind. And brilliant light, shining amber, the color of gold, the symbol of divinity. And suddenly out of the midst of it comes the likeness of four living creatures. But yet, you're not sure they're creatures. They have an appearance. They had the likeness of a man. I think they're a man, but I'm not sure. Everyone had four faces. Man, that's a little different than any man I ever saw. Everyone had four wings. That's making it stranger yet. Straight feet, round feet, at the sole, and they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. On their, what do you think they'd do to a man that reported such a vision as this today? Huh? Put him away. They wouldn't let him spend any church money on him. Attorney General, no, that was wrong. Under the hands, they had the hands of a man under the wings. And they four had their faces. All four of these creatures had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. Now, the way the King James transcribes it, that'd be hard to fly with. But the literal is their wings were kissing one another. That's the literal. It was a symbol of closeness, affinity, and unity. They turned not when they went. No deviousness to their movements. They went, everyone, straight forward, straight on. You knew exactly where they were going when they went. Now let's look at their faces. Won't you see this poor guy? As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. Two faces one side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Don't you dare fail to put flesh and blood on this guy. He's in a prison camp. Nobody else can even sing about God. The word of the Lord came to him. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And he has a vision. He's about 30 years old. That's about how old he is. Recently married. Bang, he gets his vision. They got four faces, all four of them. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward, or literally divided above. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, or kissing one another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. God's saying it again. Straight. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. I was looking back, you know. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. Now, here is a guy describing it as he sees it. You know, the Bible is written in sensory language. Someone has said, ah, it can't be God's word. Because Joshua stopped the sun. We all know the earth goes around the sun. and the sun and the universe are all moving. It looked like he stopped it to those in that day, and if you had explained it to them in fancy scientific language, they wouldn't know what you're saying. The Bible's written in sensory language. Here's this flesh and blood God with this whirlwind and the cloud and the amber color and the flashing lights, and suddenly these four living creatures, they have the appearance of a man, yet they don't. They're in the likeness of a man, but they got these wings and they got these hands and they got straight feet and the sole of their feet's curved and round, and they got four faces. And again it says, the likeness was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures. I want to really ask you, what do you think would happen to a traditional full gospel crowd if they could see those running lights going up and down those creatures? Huh? What do you think would happen to a Baptist crowd? They'd either get excited or hide in the baptistry, one or the other. Get inside this guy. I mean, boom, his captivity suddenly becomes a strange arena of this phenomenon. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned just back and forth as the appearance of a flash of lightning was the how fast they'd move as they'd run. Back and forth in their movements. Now as I beheld the living creatures, I get this picture. Whirlwind zooms in. Big cloud. Bright lights. Amber color. The symbol of God's divine nature. Bright. Suddenly out of this comes these creatures. But I didn't know. Now as I... You know, the Jews used to wouldn't let their people read the book of Ezekiel until they were 30 years old. You know that? After they'd had enough training and discipline, because they were afraid it would be such hard sledding for them, they'd give up reading the scripture altogether. It's an amazing book. I may be here 475 messages. The appearance of the wheels and their work. Wait a minute. Beheld the living creatures. Behold, as I beheld the living creatures flying around like bolts of lightning. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And in the original, they get a little confused as he shifts from single to plural because he's describing what he sees. At first he thinks it's one big wheel. The appearance of the wheels suddenly changes. And their work was like unto the color of a beryl. Tarshish is the word, really. It is the color that is designed or used to describe the sea in motion and the color of the sea with its eternal quality. He sees these wheels like a sea in motion. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness. Suddenly it's four wheels. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So just get this picture. Comes a whirlwind. Brilliant lights to this poor prisoner. Suddenly four creatures, four-faced, wings, arms, straight feet, zipping back and forth like lightning, and suddenly a wheel that becomes four wheels with wheels in the middle of the wheel. I say, Lord, stop. Let me write this down. I want to get a camera. I want to get this in my magazine. When they went upon their four sides. But here's four wheels. They go on their four sides. They turn not when they went. But they aren't rolling wheels. They're rolling wheels, but they don't go by rolling. The wheels are turning all the time, wheels in the midst of a wheel. But it's as though the wheels just go around like flying saucers. These are not flying saucers, by the way. I want to tell you that right at the outset. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not when they went. As for their rings, that is, the things that are around the wheel, you know. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. Suddenly, it's as though the whole world's overpowered by these wheels. And the wheels are so big, they're dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them. Here comes that whirlwind, cloud, yellow amber, bright lights, four creatures, four faces, wings, hands, straight feet, round souls, going straight, not looking back, not deviating from their path, like lightning going back and forth, big wheel, lots of wheels, four wheels, going round, 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 round. It's a big, it encompasses the earth, and suddenly eyes on every rim of the wheel. Woo! I can hear some of them go. This is Mr. Pentecost of the Old Testament. He had it all. And when the living creature, I believe in the real. I've been telling ever since I've been here, I'm going to get to it eventually after I lay the groundwork. I believe in God's moving. It's these carnival imitators that get my goat. I just threw that in free. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. Now, wait a minute. I want those wheels. I want to show them off. You bring me. I want to let them other things go. They're too strange. But these wheels, let me take them with me. Wherever those four creatures went, with those four faces, and with those wings, and with those hands, and straight feet, round soles, and moving straight forward at God's direction like lightning. Where they went? The wheels went. Funniest thing I ever saw. It's wheels that don't roll, but it's wheels that spin. Wheels in the middle of a wheel. With eyes all around the rim. The rim's big, bigger than the whole world. And when those creatures move, they move. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Mystery. How these wheels get joined with the very spirit. And when those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Can't you hear some old snaggletooth guy as Elijah's telling them this vision? What do you mean by all that? Can't you understand, you dummy? Just this. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. You think I'm a complicated preacher? You ought to listen to this one. Now, he didn't even explain it the way I do. Oh, come on, don't complicate things, Ezekiel. Just make us happy. And lo and behold, here's another element. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. Man, this ought to drive Russ Stoltman out of his mind if he paints this one. Here comes the whirlwind, big cloud, blazing amber lights, surrounded by lights. Suddenly, the appearance of four creatures, four faces, four wings, hands under the wings. And suddenly, under them, wheels, middle of the wheels, wherever they go, wheels go. And suddenly, over their heads, he notices a firmament. The firmament, color of a terrible crystal. It appeared as a cloud, but to God it's a crystal. He sees through it. And that firmament is the dividing line. It is the foundation on which the next part of the vision will be seen to sit or stand. And underneath that firmament are these angelic beings called cherubims in other places. And underneath those angelic beings, the wheels, in the middle of the wheels. And here's old Ezekiel looking at it. When they went, under the firmament, were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side. Everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. Apparently the cloud takes shape as a firmament, and these angels paused for a moment. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, and you can hear their wings. And the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, still over their heads. When they stood and had let down their wings. And here we go again. God's word is so repetitious. Now, if some modern charismatics were doing it, they'd reverse the whole order. I mean, who would ever think a voice would be in the league with all that brilliance, with those funny-faced, multi-faced beings, with those wheels in the middle of the wheel, with the lightning flashing? But above it all, there was a voice from the firmament, God's word, that was over their heads. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Man, watch this take shape as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne, he's not really sure, as those beings had the likeness of a man and yet they had these other strange oddities. He's not really sure, but on that throne is the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Man, I could preach for 3 hours on that verse, but I got to go. As I saw, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, the man he's talking about, from the appearance of his loins even upward, the appearance of fire round about within this man-like person, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And there are some who know this is the incarnate Christ sitting on the throne. Seeing that the twofold nature, the amber, the gold divinity, in the upper half, and the brightness shining forth in the incarnation, the lower half. And he's looking at this man as the appearance of the bowl. Watch this vision. Whirlwind, cloud, amber light, four-faced creatures, multi-wings, like lightning, back and forth at the orders of someone as they move straight on their task. Wheels, in the middle of the wheel, all moving under perfect control. Firmament taking shape. Cloud as he looks, crystal through which now can be seen as he looks through it. A throne, man-like creature on the throne. Amber lights from within in the upper half and round about in the lower half. And suddenly, in addition, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, in addition to the amber light, brilliant rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Can always tell when somebody really sees God. They don't go crazy with self-exaltation. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Any man that really sees God will be driven to his knees. That's what bothers me with the constant testimonials in self-exaltation of those peddling their great experiences. The impact on Ezekiel was the kind of impact that it would come to any genuine person who sees this experience. What do you think you'd do when suddenly there is a voice and this throne? When I saw it, I fell upon my face and I heard a voice of one that spake. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet and I will speak unto thee. I have been at least 20 years in ministry trying to communicate this one truth. I still haven't learned how to do it to where I feel it's really communicated. The same power that brings you down when it is genuinely encountered stands you up. I don't know how to explain the paradox. That's why I've wrestled with it for 20 years. It is what Jesus said. You live by dying. You go up by going down. But a genuine encounter with God. There are volunteers giving their efforts, their talents. As Tozer says, the same business on the other side of the street, doing God's work the way they did their own work. Just changing the focus of their behavior. But when any man genuinely encounters God, it brings him down. Isaiah, same message. In the year the king Uzziah died, Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. His train filled all the temple. The cherubims were flying around. Smoke filled the temple. The posts of the door shook. And he fell on his face and said, Woe is me, I am undone, a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. That's the inevitable reaction to a genuine exposure to God. Peddlers of God's power have never learned the message of John's gospel, where Jesus is present working miracles. And it says many believed on him when they saw the miracles that he did. But he did not commit himself unto them, because he knew what was in man's heart. I thank God for the receiving message of today. And the Holy Spirit is a gift. But I'm still with Tozer. We need a baptism in the old-fashioned fear of the Lord himself. An awareness of what it means to be in his presence. And paradoxically, when that realization comes, when the self can finally be brought face to face with the greatness of God, that this miserable little worm over there by a river Chebar in Babylon in bondage, that God would sail out of the north with his whirlwind, his cloud, his marvelous creatures that could go like lightning to do his bidding, that had the face. I ought to quit right now, you know, and say, come back next Sunday night. But I came here to preach, not put on a show. God's word can be simplified. These creatures were a message to God, or to God's servant that he's going to use. Here comes a whirlwind. How come God didn't land on everybody with the whirlwind? I mean, who needs Elijah to talk to him if you hit him with a whirlwind? Cloud, and then sailing out of the cloud, these brilliant creatures, flashing, brilliant in their appearance, beautiful in all that they do, quick, as a lightning flash. If God needs something done, zoom. The appearance of a man. That's the man's face. Ezekiel can't do any better than that. They got his face. They have the appearance of the lion. And if it's courage and a fighter and all that a lion stands for as king of the wild, in boldness, in ferocity, sure don't need miserable Ezekiel to go fight your battles. You got a lion. Well, but he may need a patient servant. Got an ox. Anything that faithful service can do, there it is in the ox. Well, he may need those quick-moving, clear-eyed. Got an eagle. I mean, what does God need with a Noah lamb in Taiwan? With a Dr. Abernathy to keep the cathedral of love, with a Marvin Beck, wherever you may go to preach, with a Gene Scott at Pace Center, with all of you, or wherever you may be, what God need with us? Just whirlwind it in. Zip, bang. And if he sends them to do a job, there's no back talk, their feet are straight, they go one direction, assignment's there, they go do it. They got hands, they got wings. God doesn't need very much with them, does he? Now, there's probably been 10,000 interpretations of the wheel. Let me tell you what that wheel symbolized. God's in control. Just that simple. As he saw it expand until the whole earth was made small by this mini universe, until everything was precision. Now, I don't understand God's sovereignty and the freedom that God has introduced in the universe because he wanted a family that would worship him who had the freedom to do otherwise is always a random factor in any situation. Man and man alone can mess up God's precision. Everything else, finely tooled. And wherever these agents of the Omnipotent One, wherever his spirit sent them, these wheels went. Because he's going to send Ezekiel as his mouthpiece to a rebellious people who think that God's not in control. And they're right where they're wrong, and wrong where they think they're right. He is the right where they're wrong in that he's not in control of them. He can be. That's the message, the precision of a universe, and the symbols, wheels within a wheel, everything moving under his control. Wheels so big that this universe looks like a little old tinker toy set up. And where they move, it moves. And the eyes, the symbol of God's absolute attention in all that spinning, he sees every detail. I could preach at any one of these points. That's New Testament theology. There is nothing. The wheel symbolizes no change. We think we're being surprised with some happening of temptation. The New Testament says, think it not strange. There is no temptation hath befallen you, but such is common to man. There is no problem any child of God ever faces that God hasn't faced it before. And when the scripture says, God will not tempt you beyond that which you're able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape, the Greek has it literal, as we pointed out many times here, that the way of escape is as precisely tooled and as individual to your temptation as your temptation is individual to you. Spinning in this wheel, for every temptation
is a way of escape.
Oh, well, not mine. I mean, mine's got God baffled. I mean, what's happening to me, SK? God never faced. He doesn't know it was going to happen. And it'll take him at least 10 more years of my life to figure out a way to deliver me. The Bible says, when I entered into the problem, he had the way of escape worked out. Already. In advance. Already there. This poor servant down there by the River Chebar, surrounded by a bunch of bawling, squalling idiots with the song out of their heart and their harps on the tree. Oh, we're forsaken of God. He's going to show him what he can do. Here he comes out of the clouds. Angels that can do all the work. The whole universe under his control, because he's going to make a man of faith out of him. I mean, when you get into one of these wheels and it starts spinning you around, remember, God's doing it all. He's in control. Well, I don't know why he makes me so dizzy. He's in control. And suddenly a voice gets his attention. God knew about men. Flap the wings, angels. I got the attention. And stand straight. And the throne comes in view. Oh, I thought we were going to have a glory fit. No. Thrones in view. Throne means command, kingship, authority. Who's on the throne? I don't even dare put it in words. He was seeing things not yet revealed to any man in this world as he saw and reached, really stretched his neck, is the picture in Peter's epistle, to try to see that which God was beholding as one having the appearance of the Son of Man sitting on that throne. And a rainbow there. Why in the world's a rainbow? I don't know yet. I'm sure Ezekiel would say. But down to his face he went. He knew he had encountered reality. And then when God, who knows the heart, has got you where you belong, how can we ever get that truth across? God's problem is bringing us to that state. It took a lifetime for Jacob, that heel catcher as his name meant, to finally be brought to the end of his strength where he could only cling that night, and then the Lord could touch him and he'd become a prince that had power with God. It's as we come to that end of our tether, God then can stand us up and do something with us. Up until that point, it's tug of war. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Now that is good New Testament theology. Stand up! Though he's starting to get up, and the Spirit enters in and does God's part of it. The Spirit didn't do all the straightening. But he didn't have to get up entirely in his own strength. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee. Now catch this picture. I just want to stop a minute. I want this to settle in. Come on up, Dove. You got another song I want you to sing when we go to the table of the Lord. But I want you to sing that song you sang a few weeks ago, On the Solid Rock. Just come sing it right now, while this mind-boggling vision settles in for a moment. Catch the picture. A whirlwind out of the north. A cloud. Brilliant lights. Angelic beings with all those qualities. Like lightning, they can do God's bidding. Wheels. In the middle of the wheel. Showing God's in total control. The firmament suddenly opens up, and like crystal, you see through to the throne of God. And a rainbow. Bam! When you hear the voice, you're down. You know God's there. He says, stand up. And he gets ready to give him a message. And that's what the Lord said unto me, Son of man, I'm going to send you to all the convention centers of the world in order that you might share this experience. I want you to become my voice to teach the people the power of the God, how to bring down whirlwinds, make angels at your beck and call. I want you to design a four-faced blessing pack. Ah. He said unto me, this guy that just had seen all these things. Man, what a convention house he could fill. I can see the various television talk shows fall all over themselves to get this guy. And think what a director could do with those pictures. He said unto me, having stood him up, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Man, with this vision of God, I don't want to preach to them. Send me to the kings. I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Why don't you send the whirlwind to them, Lord? I'm sending you. I sent the whirlwind to you. I'm sending you to them. They are impudent children. Oh, I know those kind. And stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, I saw whirlwinds, four-faced creatures, bolts of lightning was their mode of transportation. Anybody reading with me? Is that what you got, SK? Thou shalt say unto them, as the light flashes from the east to the west, I saw these four-faced creatures. Is that there or not? Fourth verse. Is that there, Jim? You mean I got to leave all that out? Can't even introduce my message with it? Come and see me preach in my angel dust garment. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. You mean that's nothing more glamorous than that? You going to bring whirlwinds and lights and all the other stuff when I do it? Nope. I sent that to you. You go to them. I want the four-faced creatures with me. In fact, I'd like to spend them on that wheel a while. You go to them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they? I've got the anointing. The same Spirit just entered into me. It spun those wheels. Sent those angels like lightning. So if I'm going to be the Lord's spokesman, can't wait to see the results. I'll get a numbers board, and we're going to have 1 million Israeli souls by January 78. 80. They are impudent children, stiff-hearted. And they... Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. No soul deserves to hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. You know, there are lots of shibboleths running around. Madison Avenue, gimmickry to get people to work for God. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted in Acts 13, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. You have to whip them into work with gimmickry. It won't last long. Go to these stiff-necked, rebellious, stiff-hearted, impudent children and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they're going to jump up, down, clap, that such a man that saw such visions would talk to them. They, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, which means they won't hear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Oh, boy. I know we get around to the good part. That means these four-faced angels with those extra hands and wings will pick me up like those wheels and move me around. Son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee. You mean with a vision like that, I got to wade through briars and thorns? You know what briars do, don't you? They just tear at you all the time. And you know what thorns do? They jab. A God with those four-faced creatures moving like lightning and the whole universe under control moving around with wheels, and I got to drag along in briars and thorns? You can take your blessing back. They won't sell in today's charismatic revival. Briars and thorns. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. You mean, I actually got to make my abode. I got to worry night and day. Scorpions. Venomous. Hyenas creatures. They'll sting you to death if they get a chance. I wonder how many people would like to see whirlwinds, four-faced creatures, bright lights, rainbows, and thrones if they ended up in briars and thorns and scorpions. Believe and receive. I thought I could have a Cadillac. All I'd do is believe for it. Briars and thorns and scorpions? That even beats some of these special sanctuaries where you can get whatever you want from God. This guy had a vision, outstripped all of them. And God said, go, I've sent you briars, thorns, and scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they not hear, for they're most rebellious. Man, alive, God, haven't you got a better audience than that? But thou, son of man, hear what I say to thee, cause God knew the risk of any servant he sends to do his work. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now, I've heard all kinds of spiritualizations about this. I believe the simplest way to take God's books, believe it means what it says. I believe that this looked to Ezekiel exactly like he said it looked. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. Now, get the whole picture again. Crystal firmament, throne, son of man, voice thundering down, talking to him. Four-faced creature standing there. He knows they can go like a bolt of lightning in a moment. Wheels still right there where those are, because they're not moving unless those angels move, but they're under control. Now God's talking to him, saying, go to these rebellious people. They're not going to receive you, but whether they receive you or whether they don't, they'll know a prophet's been there. You're going to dwell in thorns and briars and amidst of scorpions. Don't you get like them. I'm going to test you now. You had your vision. Now we're going to come down to what makes you go. Because a vision isn't going to carry you through this. A hand was sent unto me. Suddenly out of the firmament just comes a hand. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And it's the scroll, the way they wrote God's book in that day. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, both sides of it. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Oh, my Lord. I mean, where's the good news? I want good news. Something to make people happy. Why doesn't he talk to them with loving care? Written there in both sides of this miserable thing. Lamentations, mourning, woe. Bad enough to look at it. But moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll? Yeah. Eat this roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. You want, again, it made simple, fill thyself with this book. Oh no, I won't tell about those angels and those lights and that firmament and that throne and those creatures. Ah, this is a lot more exciting than this lamentation, mourning, woe. Eat that book. Fill yourself with it. Front, back, upside down, backwards, inside. Digest it, swallow it, keep it there. Oh, come on, Lord, just stamp it on me with a whirlwind. You eat it. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. If you turn me off now, the television antenna on the hill will fall down. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Man, I got to eat this thing. Oh, come on. I want second chapter of the whirlwind and the vision and the angels and the lightning and the amber lights and the blue lights and the throne and the rainbow. Eat this book. Fill yourself with it. Get it in you. Oh, I don't want to. But when I did, then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. It's the way God's word is, you know. It's not easy to take it. But when we quit rebelling and we make God's word the subject and the object and all that's in between until we're full of it, it suddenly becomes honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go. Get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. If there's any place in God's book that a message from God's book ought to straighten out modern Pentecost, this is it. Nobody questions the reality of the experience. But will you start eating the book and quit bragging about the experience? That simple. Digest the book. Don't expect the experience to be the message. Speak my word. Thou art not sent to a people of a strange tongue and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange tongue and of a hard language, whose words thou canst understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. I read this afternoon. I said, Lord, will I ever shut up complaining because God took me off the mission field where my heart beat for years? Where the freshness of the truth as you would give it to those that had never heard it? Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And I'm going to send you full of love and oil and the honey taste in your mouth from the word. And having failed at all else, I'm going to have you massage them now and stroke them and smile at them. Why doesn't he talk to them with loving care? Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead. They're a bunch of stiff-necked, hard heads, and I've made your neck stiffer and your forehead harder. So as you bang heads, theirs breaks, yours doesn't. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they hear or not. Then the Spirit took me up. I heard a great, behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. I went in bitter, hot anger, is what it says. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And I'm getting ready now to set the stage for next Sunday night. It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. How many times have you heard this next verse or two out of context? Give them warning from me when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. How many times have you heard that? To send you out on the street and lasso or wrestle some poor sinner to the ground and beat the gospel into him. It has no application to that. Ezekiel was sent to the hard-hearted, stiff-necked, impudent, rebellious people that knew about God but simply would put themselves first. And now God is sending his servant to them. They're the wicked ones, the same bunch I make mad half the time. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. You mean this hard head banging their hard heads? Yes. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, again that verse opens, lest you be in doubt as to whom God's talking about. He's talking about those of his children that have lost their vision, have lost their commitment, have lost their way with him, and have departed into their stiff-necked, self-serving rebelliousness, having once known God's way. Those proud inhabitants of God's camp that don't want the boat rocked. They want their farm in that bondage land to prosper. They can pull texts out of context from Jeremiah, who told them to build and take root in that land. And here old Ezekiel's going to rock the boat because he's going to say, wherever you are, God still is first. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. I have said God gave faith center a prophetic role to the church. If I could go overseas, I'd go. Because they hear with an open heart. But God still has a message to the church, still in bondage to itself. And when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and God stumbles him, he dies in his iniquity, and the righteousness was canceled out. His blood will I require at thine hand, Ezekiel. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. And we'll move into the next phase of God's words to Ezekiel. Now let me sum it up in a sentence. I don't know why he doesn't solve the church's problems and face sinners' problems with a whirlwind, four-faced angels that can move like lightning. I don't know why he doesn't thunder his voice through the firmament. I don't know why he'd make us eat his word and send us forth in the midst of briars and thorns and scorpions to a people who would rather not hear the message of commitment. Because he's got a powerful message that I'll unfold, and I'll come back to those wheels in the middle of the wheels. But that's what God is still doing. He's sending us. He'll empower us. He'll set us on our feet. But it's not the visions. God doesn't need a teller of visions, you know. Much easier to just give him the vision. God wants his word proclaimed. And wherever we go, we find that a man of faith is a man that hangs his body on God's word no matter what. You'll see what Elijah was able to do when he digested the word.